Thank you. Thanks, Phil. So when I was making this message, I have to admit, I had to revamp it at least 5 times before coming to a final product. Then when I got to the final product and showed it to Phil, Phil looked at me and said, "This is a good idea, but where's your message?" And I looked at it and I was like, I don't know. I don't know where my message is. So he's like, "Let me help you." And so he helped me out. And so now I think I have a message that God wants to speak through me and to you. So first I want to ask a question. Who here growing up has ever had their parents say something along the lines of, do as I say, not as I do, right? Something along the lines of, do as I tell you, but not my example. I think one thing that I noticed is how much I am like my parents. I think that one of the things that I've noticed is how much I'm like my dad. If any of you know me, you'll know that I have amazing parents, and that my dad tends to leave bowls and mugs everywhere. He tends to leave them all over the house, and especially in the place where he hangs out. And I do that too. I don't clean up after myself. I leave the bowls that I use everywhere. I leave the cups that I use everywhere. I don't clean them up. And so he'll always be after me about it. He'll always say, "Cademan, like, clean up your mess. Like, what are you doing? I didn't raise you in a barn." And I'll say, like, "But Dad, you do it too." And then he'll look at me, he'll say that, and he'll look at me and he'll be like, "Yeah, well, I'm the dad. I pay the taxes, I pay the bills, I've earned that right. When you get older and you get your own house, you can do that." And I look at him and go, and I clean up my mess. Another thing I've noticed is how much I'm like my mom. Not in terms of behavior, but in terms of words and how I talk. One time at college, me and my buddies were watching a movie, and my two buddies, they were talking during the movie, and it was really annoying. And so I looked at them and I said, "Guys, can you please stop talking? Just please be present, be with us, be in the moment." And I sat there, and about 30 seconds later, I was like, "Oh my gosh, hell froze over. I'm like my mom. I just mothered my friends. Oh no." So some of you may notice that. Some of you may notice that even growing up as adults, you do a lot of things that your parents did. You might do a few things in life that the way that your parents did, and you reflect their character. But the question I want to ask is, can we say the same thing about our Heavenly Father? Can we say that we reflect the characteristics of our Heavenly Father? And so that's why I'm calling this message our reflection, because I want to pose the question is, can we say through our day-to-day lives that we are constantly reflecting the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the way that he proposed in the gospel? Now you may be wondering, why should we reflect the character of Christ? Or what was so great about the way he did things versus how I do things, right? I think I'm a nice guy. I help out people. I tithe. Right? You tithe, right? I hope so. So that's where that's the question I want to get into is, are we reflecting the characteristics of Christ? So if you want to open your Bibles to John 13, we're going to be reading verses 13 to 17. Now, as you're turning, I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory to where we are in the Bible right now. So at this point in the Bible, the Last Supper is just about to begin, and the disciples are all gathered in one room, and Jesus is there, and the disciples are conversing among themselves, and Jesus decides to get up and basically go get down to his underwear and begin to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, as he's washing the feet of the disciples, he gets to Peter, and Peter, much to Peter's protest, he washes Peter's feet, silly guy, and then he gets up after washing the feet of his disciples and recloses himself and sits back with his disciples and asks them, basically, "Why do you think I did what I just did?" And I like to imagine the disciples are kind of looking at everybody like, "I don't know. Why did he do that?" And then Jesus responds with this. So verse 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Remember when I said, if your parents have ever said something like, do as I say, not as I do? Well, Jesus says, do as I say and as I do. Right? Do as I say and as I do. He's not necessarily asking us to live out his life step by step. What he's doing in this moment is teaching his disciples a lesson in humble service. And by Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, he has demonstrated that. And the disciples wouldn't have known this at the time or until later. And of course, the biggest demonstration that Jesus would show that night would be him dying on the cross. But of course, disciples wouldn't realize that until much, much later. So what does this look like for us, right? What does this look like for you? How can we do this? Like, how can we act out life like Christ? Because Christ was Christ. Like, he was so perfect. Like, we can try to live his life step by step, but we'll fall short every time. Well, in Philippians, Paul actually writes a note to a letter to the church of Philippi, where he details how we can live out the life of Christ and how we can effectively walk in his footsteps and in his character. So what we're reading out of is Philippians 2, verses 3 to 11. And as we're going to be reading through these, I have broken down them into threes. So I have three verses for each. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read three, and then we're going to break down what what they're saying and what Paul is writing. A little bit of backstory as to what is happening. Paul is writing this to the church of Philippi because there's been a bit of infighting between two members. There's been a bit of a conflict of interest, and so that is why Paul is writing in this context, because there's a bit of conflict within the church. So verse 3, Paul writes this. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. Okay, pause. What this verse is saying is that nothing that you do in service towards others should be for your own self-ambitions, right? I think one of the most dangerous things that a believer in Christ can encounter is pride when they're serving. Because if you serve humbly and you serve to lift others up and you experience pride, it becomes something that you want to use for yourself in order to look good or boost your own ego. It immediately changes why you are serving and how you are serving, because it doesn't become about Christ, it becomes about you, and doesn't become about lifting the other person up, which it needs to be. You need to humble yourself in the acts of service. Jesus had a mindset of three things. He had a mind of selflessness, the mind that was sacrificial, and a mind of serving. These are the three mindsets that I believe that servant leaders should have. Servant leaders need to have mindsets of selflessness, a sacrificial mindset, and a serving mindset. Verse 6 to 8. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took to the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died the criminal's death on the cross. Christ has something that's called personal equality and positional equality with the Father, right? What is that? Well, personal equality is how much Christ is equal to God. So how much he is, like, how he acts, how he walks, how he talks, right? Christ can't lose that. He is, was, and forever will be equal to the Father. However, when it comes to positional equality, Christ can and did give that up. Christ had the privileges of heaven. He was living in heaven. He was living it up. He was in the most perfect place. Right? He didn't have to come down. He didn't have to give that up. But he didn't see it as something that was important to cling on to. God, so he came down to fill the God, to fill God's plan, right? Get this. Christ was willing to give up his positional equality with God to come down to fulfill the Father's command to die for all of humanity, for the very same people that put him on that cross. That's love. That's love, church. He was willing to give it. He gave it up. He didn't have to. He didn't have to wash the feet of his disciples. If anything, the disciples should have been washing his feet. But he chose to undress, get down on his knees, and serve those who were less than him. Verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him a name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this might be a bit, this verse section might be a bit confusing. So what this is saying is, if the Savior humbled himself, God would highly exalt him. If he did not seek a name for himself, God has given him the name which is above every name. If he, the Savior, bent his knee in service to others, God has then decreed that every other knee shall bow to him. The lesson here is the way up is down. What I mean by that is, in order to serve humbly and serve willingly, we must first exalt others above ourselves. It can't be about us. We have to lift others up. We have to serve. One thing that has always, one of my campus pastors has always said to me, that's always kind of stuck with me, is that they said, Cademan, ministry isn't always going to be sexy. It's not always going to look good. It's gonna be rough, it's gonna be dirty, it's not always gonna be clean. There's gonna be hard times, and that's true. I think during this internship, one of the things has become, one of the moments of serving that I've noticed the most is when we went up to Stake Lake to help the property up there that has experienced flooding. And it was like devastated land, like completely ruined. And we helped in the best way that we could. And even though, like, we put a mere, like, I want to admit, we put, like, a mere dent. We worked as hard as we could, but we put probably a dent in what we could do. But, man, was the smiles on the family's face worth it? Was the happiness that I felt leaving there was so immense? Because even though, in the grand scheme of things, what we did was, and what they had to do, was very little. But it was hard work, and it was honest work, and it was serving work, because we did it in the name of Christ. And if you know me at all, you know I don't like to get dirty, and so it was the last thing I wanted to do, but it felt really good after doing it. So Jesus washed the feet of those who were undeserving and unthankful. Living as a reflection of Christ's character, is about being the servant leader. By serving those who are unthankful and undeserving, as Christ did, you humble yourself towards others, placing their importance above your own, so that you may experience true happiness. When we exalt others over ourselves, we will experience true happiness. Back in John 13, verse 17, when it says, "Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." The literal translation for this is not about talking about a spiritual blessing. It's actually talking about happiness. In fact, the Greek word that is used is makari, which translates to blessing or happiness. Not necessarily talking about how you will be spiritually blessed, but you will experience the fullness and happiness that the Lord gives when serving. True happiness and joy in life comes from serving others in the name of Jesus. Church, our true Community outreach comes when we serve in the name of Jesus. When we outreach, especially in a time like this, it can look different. It can look hard. It can look complicated. I can't get within 6 feet of someone that I'm not in my bubble. So how do I serve them? How do I talk to them? If you read the Gospels, most of the encounters Jesus has with other people is just him talking to them. He just talks to them and slowly gets into what he wants to say to them. I think the biggest example of that is the woman at the well. He just asked for a drink. That's how he opened the conversation. So if you don't know, if you're unsure, how do I bring this up? How do I talk to that one friend of mine who I've always wanted to come to church or always wanted to watch the stream, but I've never gotten the chance to? Just listen. Just talk to them. Listen to them as Jesus did. Let's talk to them as Jesus did. Because when you show the attention and love to others that Jesus showed to the people he encountered, then they experience the true love of Christ. You are technically performing ministry. Ministry isn't, you can perform ministry if you don't work at a church. Ministry can just be by talking and representing Christ's character. So when you have to go to your work, when you have to work your 9-to-5 job, and you got to serve those people who you really don't like, who you get on your nerves and bug you, remember how reflecting the character of Christ is so important and how it progresses his kingdom, how it advances it. I think in times like this, it is so important that we keep a Christ-like mindset, especially in times when we don't know what is around the corner, we don't know what's happening. The news can be especially depressing at this time. But we have to remember that God has a plan, and that it's in his control, and that he ultimately is loving and caring. My plan was to get you guys out of here pretty quick, so I'm doing pretty good on time. If the worship team would come back on, that'd be great. So I want to leave you guys with this. Is there anything you should take home? It's this one thing, which is actually three things, but one topic. It's what Paul says in Philippians. So if you're writing something down, you might want to write this down. Verses 3-5. The idea there is to have a mind of Christ, So the servant leader mindset should be a selfless mindset, a sacrificial mindset, and a serving mindset. Verse 6-8, it talks about you should always remain humble in your serving. Don't lift yourself up above others in your serving. Don't make it about you. Make it about the person you're serving. Stay humble, right? Don't be prideful. Watch out for that. And stay exalting others. Verse 9-11, the way up is down, right? Exalt others. Get down as Christ did. Wash the feet of others. Because when you get down on your feet and you exalt others, we do this in the hopes that one day we will be exalted by the Father. We will be lifted up as Christ was lifted up.